We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
This is Darius Miller.
This is Drew Hardy.
This is Lance Thomas, Tyree Gavin.
Jason Smith.
Anthony Davis of the New Orleans Pelicans.
You're listening to.
And you are listening to In the Know.
In the Know.
The Bourbon Street Shots.
Bourbon Street Shots podcast.
All Pelicans, all the time.
Welcome to the show. I just saw the Pelicans lose to the Jazz. Michael, can we end the podcast now?
This reminds me of our old Sunday podcast, but playoffs were never on the line in season before. I mean, they
You're talking about playoffs?
They had to do it. They went and got our hopes up, got us excited, and just to crush them.
And it's our fault too. Like, we've been watching this team all season. We know that they're up and like inexplicably up and inexplicably down at any moment. This game we just watched with the Jazz, it was inexplicable they had a big lead, and then it was inexplicable at how bad they were over like seven straight minutes. Like,
was it though? I mean, to me, it's more inexplicable that they were that good for that one stretch where they went on like a 22-3 run.
Like, well, absolutely, it was inexplicable that they were leading with the team they have, but like, this is Tyreke Evans and Eric Gordon, the high-priced guard talent, and they can't pass the ball past the three-point line without turning it over for six straight minutes. Like, 11 turnovers between the two of them, and they were stupid turnovers. Stupid.
I don't know. I'm still more surprised that they went on the good run. Like, if it would have been the opposite, if the Jazz would have got out to a huge lead at first, and then we would have went on the 22-3 run at the end of the third or beginning of fourth, like, we would be applauding these guys for trying and almost pulling it out. At least I would. It's just that it happened in reverse order. Now we feel like we should have had a win. To me, this team was the clear underdog going into a game at home. I mean, Tony Douglas was third on the team in minutes at halftime. The guys that they were playing, you know, you could fault Monty here or there, but he's playing a bunch of guys who, you know, otherwise wouldn't be. You're missing 100 minutes and a combined PER of like 70 out there. Like, to me, I'm just more frustrated with how is it always the same story? We come into a stretch of winnable games, and then, of course, you know, the injuries have to come. I mean, Anthony Davis is going into All-Star break. He's only going to miss about seven games, but he's going to have four to Utah and Indy at home, Philly and New York on the road. Like, we're going to look back and say, if he's healthy for those four games, that's four more wins. Like, it's just, it's such horrible timing. And then Ryan Anderson comes up with this mysterious elbow, you know, injury a couple hours before the game. Like, it's just, it's really so old. Like, I don't care if we go out there and we lose, and then, you know, Bill Simmons and everybody else could pick on our roster construction and our coaching, but I just want to actually see it. I want to actually see the team that Dell put together for, I don't know, 50 games. I'm not being greedy. I'm not asking for Portland injury luck. Give me 50 games. Can I have that?
No.
Ever. How many? Okay. So quick ambush. How many games do you think all six of our main guys have played together this year?
This year?
Yeah.
So we're at like, what, 48, is it? 40? No, we're at 52 games already.
Yeah.
All right, so out of 52, I would guess 38.
What?
No, wait, Gordon's been out longer than that. So 32.
12. 12 games.
All right, so all six of our guys?
Yeah.
I guess, right, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense, because Drew's out. Yeah.
Right. And then,
as soon as Garrett Gordon comes back, Drew goes away.
And then you want AD playing with all these guards that create and move the ball. AD and the three guards, even if you just limit it to them, they've only had 16 games together. I mean, AD has barely got to play with Drew at all in these 2 years where you put them together as the cornerstones. Like, they barely even get to play together. Like, again, if somebody beats us, they beat us straight up, then we could start, you know, really getting mad at roster moves and Monty's decisions. But I'm just so tired of every single afternoon looking up, and first you see that X guy is questionable or doubtful, and then, oh, we'll let you know right before tip, and that guy's always going to be out for the game. And, you know, Davis comes back right after his fall, but now with a couple days of rest, it's even worse, and he's going to probably miss these two games. Like, and I'm not blaming on any of the guys or calling them soft. It's just so old with this franchise. Like, just give me 50 games. It's exhausting.
Well, they won't be able to give you 50 games this year.
No,
it's already too late.
No chance. Yep.
So you're asking too much.
Yeah.
Gotta reset your expectations. Ask for 20.
Gosh, if we could get that. Yeah. It's
not 20 more, 20 total.
It's exhausting. And, you know, if people listen to the last podcast, you know, we were on a high after the Atlanta game, and, you know, I quickly said, hey, the Pels could go 0-3 or whatever, and all this could be for naught. And they almost did that. They went 1-3 with, of course, the one win coming at a fully healthy Oklahoma City team at their house.
And it was a very exciting game.
Very exciting, you know, miraculous shot. So
I was going to bring that up to you, because we had a conversation earlier in this podcast a couple weeks ago where you're like, when those games are really close, do I feel excited by them? Like, do I enjoy that kind of game? And I enjoyed the hell out of that game.
Even the last minute and a half before 80.
Yeah, even the last well, I mean, there was moments where I was like screaming at the TV, words that no one should hear, like when Tyreek Evans threw the pass. But I did enjoy it. That was a really fun game.
See, I'll be honest. I enjoyed those games with Chris Paul. I don't enjoy them now. Like, I do not, if I'm being truly honest.
Because you know Chris Paul's going to out-execute anybody?
No, yeah, and I don't trust our guards. I simply don't. Even when Drew comes back, like, I don't. And maybe I am spoiled by Chris Paul. I don't know. I should, you know, see how Steph Curry or Damon Lillard, maybe they run it a little differently. But I do not enjoy those moments, because I feel like if we win, we're going to win in spite of ourselves, not because, you know, of some fantastic execution. And, man, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer this whole podcast, but that was the case in that OKC game. Like, I was more leaving there. Of course, the 80 shot I watched probably 60 times.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm being honest, I thought more about Tyreek Evans's last minute and a half than anything else of that game. And it keeps going back to what I'm saying, and he does it again today in the Utah game. ironically, at the same minute and a half marker where he basically, in my opinion, loses us that game. It just keeps going back to what I'm saying. You could show me all the stats. You could, he'll definitely have impressive plays, but I can't trust a guy late in games. And to me, you know, it's almost that we win games in spite of ourselves, not because of, you know, some smart basketball play that we make. So,
all right, you're just too pessimistic there. Because the Pelicans didn't even have a chance against the Thunder if they hadn't been able to execute down the fourth quarter and get that lead even to where it was. I mean, they built a 7-point lead after being down. They were down 12 in the third at one point. So
no, they hit some shot. I mean, can you remember? No, just imagine. Imagine a scenario. Well, first I'll start here. Imagine a scenario where Tyreek throws that outlet pass and Kevin Durant, you know, instead of missing short, hits that little 7-foot runner and OKC wins. Wouldn't Tyreek be the only point of contention after the game? I mean, that's all people would be talking about. You had that terrible shot at 1.5 minutes. You had two missed free throws. Mm-hmm. And then you have one of the most inexplicable outlet passes of just panic of all time. Like, can you think of a key member of an NBA Finals team in the last 5 to 10 years that would have made those plays?
Manu Ginobili had that one really awful Finals game where he basically murdered the entire San Antonio Spurs team.
I mean, at least he hit one of the two free throws, but yeah,
it's true.
But
so I am 100% not absolving absolving Tyreek Evans for that game. I mean, he was a disaster, but I think you forget that, you know, Kevin Durant, if he hit that, there still would have been plays going back and forth. If the rest of the game played out still, Quincy Pondexter still would have helped save Tyreek Evans, because Quincy Pondexter fouled, what's his name, on Russell Westbrook on the three-pointer. I mean, there was multiple goats for this team, and that Anthony Davis saved from being hated forever.
Yeah, I mean, there was mistakes. I actually kind of blame. Look at this. We're talking about our one win, and we're talking about the bad things. But
I know. I actually like that win. Come on, man.
I enjoyed it.
Take some Valium.
I guess for me, it's about what the goal is. I keep looking at what this team could be in the playoffs, and you know, I'm still really scared. But to me, on that specific play, you're looking at, I mean, the Pelicans have to defend three guys on that play. They don't have to defend Steven Adams, and they don't have to defend the guy inbounding the ball. And, you know, AD, you know, I kind of put that one on AD because he decides to kind of stay in the paint when they're up three with 4 seconds to go, you know, and Coupon kind of loses them. But no, I mean, it was an enjoyable game. Anthony Davis put on a show. Don't get me wrong. I mean, the Pelicans wouldn't be winning any of these games without Tyreek Evans. He's been, you know, the guy filling the stat sheet. And I'm not saying without him the Pelicans would be better. I just, you know, again, I'm not really looking at this year as much as the future. And I keep trying to see, again, if you're going to win 4 playoff series, what team that wins 4 playoff series puts the ball in the hands of a guy this much that personally, you know, I just can't trust with smart decisions and, you know, with key plays down the stretch. So
let's say we were having a podcast to talk about trades. I bet you'd have Tyreek Evans there a whole bunch of times, wouldn't you?
Oh, spoiler alert. That's coming up in a couple of days. No, not a bunch of times. I mean, I think the really interesting things with the trade market is, you know, people usually expect to have them near the deadline. I think most of the teams have already made their moves. I think it's going to be relatively quiet, but all right, let's turn this around on the positive, because I will say, you know, I was ecstatic after that game. I mean, there was a lot of good. Obviously, this team without Drew cannot defend Russell Westbrook, you know, whatsoever.
Westbrook was just so. In my recap, like I said, that I think Russell Westbrook is the new Allen Iverson. Do you disagree with that? I mean, that's who he reminds me of.
Yeah, and I never thought I would see somebody faster than Iverson, but I think he's maybe just because he has more length and he could cover more ground.
He's got more power.
Oh, he's definitely got more power, but I remember watching Iverson at Georgetown and thinking I have never seen a player that quick in my life. And I think Westbrook might be, he's obviously stronger, but he might be quicker too.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and if anybody in the world thinks that, you know, Westbrook wouldn't be scoring like 30 to 35 points a game if he wasn't on the team with Kevin Durant, they're a little bit delusional. I mean, that guy, his usage rating is sick. So, I mean, he would, if he was in the old, that old Philly team, he would be easily Allen Iverson's equal in both shooting percentages and passing. And I mean, I just, that's what he is to me.
We obviously didn't talk about him, or are not going to talk about him in our upcoming trade podcast, but just pure hypothetical, would you trade all three of our guards for Westbrook today?
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you trade all three of our guards and Ryan Anderson for Durant?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is we built a lot of nice pieces here, but you'd still give up pretty much all of them for a guy like that, and Oklahoma City has two of them.
All right, I'll go mark those two trades off of my list. Because that's what I was thinking, was we'll get some team to give up Westbrook or Durant.
Yeah,
that'll happen.
I'm sure OKC will be down for it. Yeah, I mean, it was an interesting game. I felt, I mean, there's a lot of great moments in this game. I truly felt that the reason the Pelicans won this game was that Ryan Anderson got to the free throw line 9 times in the fourth quarter. He got us in the bonus early. He fouled Ibaka out. He got us, you know, free points, which we really couldn't get from any of our guards in this home and home with the Thunder. I thought those free throws that Ryan Anderson got and getting Ibaka out were the keys to this game.
I agree 100%. But here's the thing that I thought that you know, just sticks out about that. I don't know how Ryan Anderson got those fouls. Like, he didn't feel like he was playing that differently than when he is doing his aggressive rolls to the hoop when he gets closed out on too sharply. And some of those, he does the same thing in other games and doesn't get the foul. Like, he wasn't getting hacked extra hard in this game more than any other game. He got the fouls this time. So my feeling was, absolutely, it was very important that Ryan Anderson was attacking and getting those free throws, but I'm not sure that's sustainable.
He's not going to get 9 a quarter, you know, but I mean, there was some, like, out of the timeout, the one that got Ibaka to foul out, that was purposely drawn up, and Rhino did a good job and did something our guards never did. When was the last time you saw our guard pump fake and then go into a guy, you know, in midair and get the free throws? Like, but that's exactly what Rhino did and got Ibaka out of the game, which just made it so, you know, the Pelicans are in the penalty at that point. Ibaka's not in the shot block. Like, literally every single play should have went at the rim at that point, and save for the Tyreek, whatever that was at the 130 mark. They all pretty much did. So I just thought that was a huge play on Rhino's end.
And honestly, even the previous game, I thought the Pelicans played well in that game. I mean, I thought that was a pretty solid game, a good effort. It's just at the end, they couldn't execute at the very end.
Couldn't execute is a little bit of an understatement, but yeah.
Right. They got outscored 12-0 to end the game. But, you know, they had put themselves in the right position. They just had to close it out, which, I mean, that's the next step when you're a young team, is figuring that stuff out and figuring out who works together. So that's where the next step has to be in the team construction process. But, you know, I thought that was still a pretty good game up until that moment. And, you know, maybe that's why they won the next one, because they realized, well, we have to do something a little different than we did last time, where we didn't force the issue at all.
Yeah, and we heard, I mean, something positive coming out of that is we heard that the Pelicans had, you know, basically an encore players meeting in between these two games where, you know, they really talked it out. And this is the kind of stuff that gets you more excited is you hear about that. Then they go to Oklahoma City, beat the Thunder, lock up the tiebreaker. You know, they're virtually three games ahead. Now they got a three-game homestand, and we could win these three and be in the playoff lead by the time we hit the All-Star break, and then we get Drew back. All excited! Then Anthony Davis goes and gets
him. Yeah, so that Chicago game, I don't even want to talk about it. Like, I don't know. Anthony Davis getting hurt and then pulled out, do you think that just, like, ripped the life out of everybody on the team? Like, they just couldn't get over the thought that Davis might have really hurt himself?
That combined with the fact that, you know, the major guys had just gotten huge minutes the night before. Like, I don't know how to look up these stats, but doesn't it feel like we play a lot more back-to-backs than we're, you know, the team receiving the benefit of another team on a back-to-back? Like, I can't remember many times when, like, somebody came into our house on the second night of a back-to-back, but that was just unfortunate scheduling for us facing Chicago after that Oklahoma City game.
Yeah, I'm not sure about getting the benefit of a back-to-back. I know we're about league average for number of back-to-backs, so we can't complain about the number we got, but you're right, I don't know how many times we get the second night of a back-to-back. Huh.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I always talk about it on Twitter or, you know, when I talk about the game that, hey, you know, this is, and I just feel like I can't, you know, remember many times when I've said that, but.
But, you know, Chicago just, I mean, as soon as Davis went down, they just handled the rest of the team. It was ridiculous. It was, I honestly don't do this very often. I turned it off at the beginning of the fourth and just said, I'll check the score later, and if they've won, I'll go back and watch the rest, or they've even made it respectable, I'll go back and watch it, but I didn't watch the fourth quarter of that game. Sorry, everybody who wanted to hear my in-depth analysis of the fourth quarter of the Chicago debacle. I didn't watch it.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty much a pointless game, and it's just, it's so sad more than anything because, I mean, just imagine the momentum this team could have built within the city of New Orleans. Like, that shot against Oklahoma City played everywhere multiple times. I mean, you couldn't miss it. Even a casual fan would know that the Pelicans are now in the playoff hunt. They got three straight home games, you know. All of them should be winnable, at the very least the last two. Like, you could have gone in the All-Star break at, you know, whatever, 30-23, probably in the lead for playoff visit. Like, it could have built so much excitement within this fan base and gotten some casual fans excited. And, like, that's what I'm saying. It's just so disheartening that all of that momentum is going your way. And then some guy pushes AD in the back and, of course, doesn't get a foul call. And now, you know, all of a sudden you're looking at, I mean, I'm almost on the borderline of if and when they lose to Indiana, I think it's borderline delusional to even be thinking playoffs if that happens. And that's just sad coming from where we were just a couple of nights ago.
Yeah, I mean, don't get too much in the prisoner of the moment because every team can have other issues strike them and give us a chance. So there's still always going to be a chance, but it's not very good at the moment because Oklahoma City has been playing pretty well and they're going to win again tonight and they won again last night or the night before. So they're making their move and it's going to be hard to stave them off unless we can actually get a stretch of nice, healthy basketball. Anthony Davis' injury description has been upgraded, but Davis wanted to play tonight, and he wants to play Wednesday night. Do you think that this is just the organization putting it out there saying, this is a problem, he's not going to come back, so that if he doesn't come back, he's covered? But maybe he'll come back earlier than we think he will right now? Like, is there any chance of that, or am I just being stupid optimistic?
I mean, I think it's pretty clear that this, you know, maybe the whole organization, maybe it's just Monty, I don't know how far it goes, but they're obviously very cautious with Davis, and I think he's always going to want to play. I don't think that's a question whether, you know, whether he wants to play or not, but, you know, I mean, this is an injury that, I'm assuming it's a grade one, strain. Of course, we don't get detailed information, but grade one, you could probably play through, you know, but there's a chance that if you hurt it again and it moves to a two or a three, you're looking at months, maybe even being out for the rest of the season. I just, you know, I know everybody wants the playoffs, and I'm sure Dell and Monty want it more than anybody else, but part of me, as much as it frustrates me right now, you know, part of me understands what they're doing with Davis and kind of applauds it when I look at how other teams were so short-sighted in the way that they treated their guys. You know, I'm happy that they're being conservative, but I really wonder when this team becomes a contender if they're going to continue to be like this, or if he's going to have to play through things, you know, like this injury.
Right. So I do have probably the most important question you're going to get all night.
Mm.
So I know how you feel about uniforms and courts and arena names and how you think that's like probably the most vital, important stuff about a franchise. So Anthony Davis has started wearing that tape on his shoulder. That makes that little half circle and kind of looks a little bit like a wing. So are you for or against that look on Anthony Davis' shoulder?
I like it.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's a little bit.
I think he should do it on both sides.
It's a little.
And then he could be like a real pelican.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of like a new age tribal art tattoo.
It is.
So, yeah.
Especially because I actually looked up once to see if that stuff actually does anything. And pretty much all the science says it's complete and utter garbage.
Yeah. I mean, you don't know, though, the psychological.
That's right. The support tape.
Yeah. It's like it's like the new age. What are they? What were the bands? The crystal?
The power bands or
crystals,
whatever.
Crystals,
yeah,
or I don't know.
Crystals. So just as a fun part, I have a coworker who is a Wiccan, and she believes that crystals are powerful.
Mm.
And one day she was looking at a website trying to pick out her newest crystal when I visited her cube. And I swear to God, every crystal on that page was a dope.
Well, all right. So for all you 8-year-old listeners out there, a is a device that helps power your blender.
That's right. I bet you didn't think it was going there, did you?
I'm never surprised with you and your coworkers. sounds like a NBC sitcom over there.
Yeah. So, anyways, the Utah game. Do you want to say any more about this Utah game, or do you want to just let it go into the ether and pretend it never happened?
Only interesting.
Like,
I mean,
Tony Douglas. I know you. You used to always claim that Tony Douglas would absolutely destroy you at NBA 2K14.
He was the killer.
So Tony Douglas, what do you think of him?
I mean, I love the on-ball pressure. I love, you know, I mean, Trey Burke went 0-for-10 today.
Yeah.
And, like, while 80% of that's on Trey Burke, you got to give Tony Douglas some props. I mean,
and normally he'd go 3-of-10.
Yeah, obviously I'd like to see Douglas hit a couple more shots, but it was nice. I mean, the lateral foot speed defensively for this team is really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Eric Gordon is giving it his all out there. You can't diss the guy after tonight. I mean, he was absolutely amazing, but he's probably our best defense, you know, outside of Quincy, but of the guys who got big minutes, I mean, our guys just got blown by all game today.
Yeah, and Hayward was torching.
And so it was nice to see somebody like Douglas who had some foot speed and some effort. So, you know, I'm fine. If Jrue Holiday truly is back after the All-Star break, I'm fine letting Tony Douglas be our fourth guard. I don't need to go acquire anybody else. You know, that's fine by me.
Yeah, I mean, the way I look at Tony Douglas is at least he's a change from what we have. Like, they brought in Gal Meckel and Nate Walters, and the difference between them and Fredette is meh, about the same. Slightly different, but basically the same impact. But Tony Douglas, at least you could put him in there and say, make that guy's life suck for 8 minutes.
Yeah.
And you can't do that with anybody else on this team. Like, unless you're having Jrue, but Drew's got bigger issues that he has to handle guys all game long. So to be able to just have them put in their backup point guard and you maybe feast on it a little bit by putting Tony Douglas out there, I think that's a good thing. And the energy is nice. And I don't know, if you take him for the rest of the year, do you think that level of energy will remain? I'm not sure. He is fighting for a job right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at least it's good to see it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine, like I said, giving him a shot. It'll be interesting with these 10-day contracts. His first one will basically expire over the break, and then mm-hmm. they could wait until the break is over to sign him again and basically get him through February on the two 10-day contracts before they have to decide. And mm-hmm. You know, like I said, I'm fine. I mean, obviously, this is the third time now a 10-day contract guy has passed Jimmer in the rotation. You know, I think it's clear they're looking for somebody in skill set wise, you know, a defensive guy who could hopefully knock down the spot up three. I think Douglas fits just fine. So, you know, I'm fine with him sticking. And, you know, Jimmerites, if you're still listening to this podcast just to hear us talk about Jimmer, not really a Pels fan, but a Jimmer fan, I think this will be your last year with us. I can't imagine he'll be staying here long term.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know you have watched a bunch of Utah games.
Yeah.
If I could tell you, other than Gordon Hayward, because he would kind of fit perfectly, that the Pelicans could swoop in and just snag any Utah Jazz player, one player, contract included, like they'd have to pay him the same amount, everything included, and bring him back to the Pelicans. Who are you taking?
I mean, I think that's pretty easy. I would take Gobert.
Think so?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when you could, yeah, I think the upside, the contract, the production, definitely. I mean, Cantor always kills us, so I'm sure some people, you know, would be saying him, but he's not, surprisingly, not nearly as good against the rest of the NBA as he is against the Pelicans. But yeah, Gobert would be my guy. How about you?
Yeah.
How about you?
So I want to say Gobert, but I'm not certain he's ever going to be a guy who can keep his fouls down. Like, there are some strong issues with his ability to move laterally, and I don't know if he's going to be able to defend. I think he might end up being like a Rick Smits kind of player who, I don't know how many people remember Rick Smits, but he only averaged like 27 minutes game. They were effective 27 minutes, but he couldn't play much more because A, he'd get really tired, and B, he'd foul the crap out of everybody who walked around him. So I don't know if Rudy Gobert is going to be better than that.
Yeah,
I'd be tempted to snag Derek Favors.
And yeah, I mean, I don't.
I think Favors has the power and the athleticism that you put him next to Davis, and he doesn't have to be. As you'll see in my our upcoming trade thing, I'm kind of trying to find somebody to pair with Davis in the front court, like for long term.
Yeah, and I mean that means we got to talk about the semi elephant in the room. Then, like, you obviously don't feel Ashik is that guy in this game. I mean, first of all, him and Cunningham both had five blocks, which is impressive. I feel like the refs let a lot of things go. I feel like a lot of I feel like a lot of those blocks came after we gave up an offensive rebound. So I don't know how, you know, it's kind of a net neutral at the end of the day. But it's just, it really is getting so difficult. Like, if I'm being truly honest, I know that if Dell is here, he is going to resign Ashik. So I think my bias is trying to get me to like Ashik and see that he's the answer and see all the good things, because I don't want to admit something to myself. But I just, I don't know. I mean, he obviously is good, but it's really hard to look at him and be like, yep, that's the guy I want next to Anthony Davis for the next 5-6. It's just getting harder and harder every game. I mean, we were told about the stone hands, and like, I expected stone hands. I think these are worse than stone hands. Like, it's really so bad. And it's
rebar reinforced
something. I mean, it's embarrassing. It's like I could imagine if I was, like, if this was, I try to imagine this as like Bitty Basketball or like, you know, whatever, and I'm Omer Ashik's father, like, I would be really embarrassed sitting around the other parents half of the time on the offensive end. Like, you see our guards, they'll be in the pick and roll, and then they'll get doubled, and they'll be like, oh, Ashik's open. My basketball instincts tell me to pass it. And then they realize halfway through the pass, oh, no, that's Ashik I'm going to pass it to. So then they kind of like pull. We saw Gordon do it tonight, pull back on the pass,
and lost the ball.
And it becomes a turnover. And it's like, there's so many things psychologically. Like, you see our guards basically in their head saying, hey, man, I've given you a chance. I'm not going to pass you this. And it just, it messes up the offense so much. And if it was a huge improvement on the defensive end, if it was a, you know, Roy Hibbert type of improvement, a Marc Gasol type improvement on the defensive end, I'd be down to ride. But I can't lie to myself much anymore. I mean, it's not that huge of an improvement on the defensive end, game in, game out. It is when it's certain matchups, that the Andre Drummond game. You know, you could write a 3,000-word article on that and convince everybody Ashik's the answer. But game to game, I don't feel like it's a huge enough difference on the defensive end.
Yeah, and I almost feel like in a lot of ways, like, Omer's mentally checked out at times. Like, I remember watching him his first year in Houston when he was a starter, and he had got the sour look on his face when he got hacked. And, you know, that's to be expected. But, like, how many times in tonight's game did you see him try to go up or try to catch the ball and throw up there, and his shoulders just slump and he starts trudging the other direction?
Yeah.
And he kind of just has, like, a my life sucks look. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I mean, maybe he's mentally in his own head. And I remember at one point Tyson Chandler was like that. Like, I remember he came to New Orleans, and the one, like, one of the major things I will give Byron Scott credit for is Tyson Chandler arrived, and it had been drilled into him by Scott Skiles that when he got an offensive rebound, if he went back up to try to put it back, he was going to be pulled. He was told that over and over again. He was to pass it back out to the guards and go set a pick. And he was not supposed to take that shot. And apparently Byron just pulled him aside and said, look, every time you touch the ball around the rim, put it back up.
Yeah.
And that helps. And maybe Ashik needs a Turk whisperer.
I mean, but do you think that if you get his confidence up, he could produce results? I think that's the difference between him and Chan. I mean,
I think he would go up stronger if he felt more confident. Honestly, like, there are times where he goes up with these power layups that are kind of half like Okafor would be ashamed at some of these power layups.
Right, but I think he does that when he's not in full control. Like, when he's in full control of his body in the basketball, then yeah, I think he does go up strong. I don't think he needs anybody to tell him that. I think, you know, he's so kind of awkward and his hands are so small or so bad, I don't know what it is, that it's rare, you know, that he's in that kind of control, or he's in traffic and he goes up with the layup because he knows it'll take him a second or two to gather, and by the time he does that, you know, he'll have guys around him and won't be able to go up. I mean, I think
so. I have a plan.
All right.
Okay. So what we do is we get to the team trainer, and they report that Omer Sheik has a bone fracture in his hand, and he has to wear a wrap around his hands from now on.
Hmm.
And you just attach sandpaper to the hand, so that when the ball touches it, there's more friction, and he has a better chance of grabbing it. What do you think?
I'm willing to try anything at this point. I just, you know, I'm trying to sell myself on anything, because I'm pretty sure he's here next year if Dell's here. And in my heart of hearts, if I'm being completely honest, if you put me under truth serum, I am hoping that there is another big next to Davis next year. And I hate saying that, but you look over at Miami, and how could you not envy Hassan, you know, Whiteside, or how could you not at least think of Monroe being a free agent, and, you know, so many other guys. It's tough. And I still think, you know, Dell took a chance, and still give him props for making that move and got him at decent value. But it's hard for me to envision him being the guy.
Let me ask you a question, though. What if you could get a Sheik for $8 million a year?
I mean, under the new salary, I mean, that would basically be like five or six now.
It'd be a mid-level contract in a couple years.
Yeah, so then at that point, you know, it would be fine if he was my third big. I mean, I think he has to be the third big, at least in terms of minutes. Like, you could start him, but he's got to be the third big, at least in terms of minutes. And I don't know if, again, it's weird. I don't know if that other one could be Ryan Anderson because of how bad defensively those two have been together. It's just, it's really weird. Like, there's a lot of talent here. And, you know, I started off this podcast saying that we really haven't got to see them together. And that's pretty much true. Like, you know, I still would like to reserve all my judgments till we see them all together. But, you know, I don't know if we're ever going to get that.
So here's where I'll come in and at least give you a little bit of, I don't know, you know, perspective. I do have to point out that the Pelicans are the seventh ranked rebounding team in the league after being in the low 20s last year. And a large percentage of the credit for that really does go to Omer Sheik. So
right, but if you would have replaced,
there are some things that, there are some reasons there, like that right there is valuable.
No, I understand, but you're not jump. I mean, if you would have gotten an average guy instead of a Sheik,
mm-hmm.
from Steam's meta average guy, you'd be at about 15. So yeah, you're jumping from 15 to 7. But
poor Steamer.
But I mean, is everything else worth it? Like I said, it's not only his numbers on the offensive end. I think he absolutely kills Flo. I think our guards are terrified to pass it to him. I don't know if it's worth it. But yeah, $8 million. I guess I'm bringing him back. But I could honestly look at the guys who are going to be free agents this year, and he would rank probably 6th, 7th, or 8th as far as the guys that I would want next to Anthony Davis of all the free agent centers that'll be available this summer.
Okay.
So,
all right. Do you want to talk about any of the upcoming, I guess it's just game?
Yeah, I guess.
You're so excited.
Like I said, I don't mind losing. I just want to lose with our freaking players. I don't want to.
Yeah, so why I'm saying a game, it's because, of course, the All-Star break is happening. So the game is Friday, February the 11th. I'm sorry, Wednesday, February 11th. And we don't come back until the following Friday for a game at Orlando on the 20th. So there is a nice, you know, if Davis doesn't play, he will basically have gotten, you know, almost two whole weeks of sitting out. So if that's your choice, if you can sit him out and get an extra 11 days, though he probably will play in the All-Star game, do you do that? Do you think it's worth it? Or do you, if he wants to play, let him play and we see if we can win against Indiana?
I mean, I really think if he was going to play this week, he would have played today. I don't think, you know, an extra 48 hours are going to do anything if he couldn't go tonight. I don't think he'll play. And I mean, you said that he'll probably play in the All-Star game. If he misses these last two games, essentially these last three, and then he plays in the All-Star game, will that irk you a little bit, or are you fine with that?
I'm fine with it.
Yeah. I don't know.
Obviously it irks you, huh?
I mean, your first priority is your team, not some scrimmage game, and if you can't go on Wednesday for your team, how are you going to go on Sunday in a meaningless game? Like, I guess I don't see the point to it. I go there, sit in a suit, you know, enjoy the time with all the guys, but, like, what does he or the team get out of playing a couple of minutes in a meaningless game when the last five minutes are all that matters? And I'm hoping that if he plays, he's not in at the end of the game or, you know, playing in those 5 minutes where the guys are actually going hard. So,
yeah. Okay. So what do you think our chances are in Indiana? We have no idea if Ryan Anderson's elbow is going to feel any better. So let you give me your take of the Indiana game sans Anderson and with Anderson. What do you think? Any chance with Anderson?
With Anderson, yeah, there's always a chance. He could have one of those games like he had against the Bulls, you know, last year where he just goes crazy.
I was going to say, wait a second. Did you watch the same Bulls game I did?
Not that one. Last year. you know, obviously, I think that there's a chance. I think Indiana's playing some great ball. They obviously just ended the Cavs winning streak. The Hornets, who were hot, too, they almost beat the Spurs last night. Spurs needed a last-second shot to beat them. So Indiana's playing really well. The game will be at home, and, you know, maybe you'll have Ryan Anderson. But I said before the Utah game tonight, I would make Indiana the slight favorite in that game. I would think it would take, you know, some kind of effort like what we saw from Eric Gordon tonight to beat them. You know, Tyreek is going to struggle with the type of defense that they play, so now you're depending on Gordon and Anderson, if Anderson plays, to have exceptional outside scoring games. And I just think the odds that those guys being bad or average are far better than them being red hot. So I would call Indiana the favorite either way, and a heavy, heavy favorite if Ryan Anderson and AD don't play.
Okay. Here's my one hope. Ajinsa is very well suited to play against Hibbert. Like, Hibbert is the kind of center that Ajinsa actually has good games against, which could at least make the game interesting. If Anderson and Davis aren't playing. If Anderson and Ajinsa are both out there, I think that we have a pretty solid chance of winning that game. I would make us the favorites.
Wow. Okay.
So I am going to predict that Ryan Anderson hobbles out on the court with his elbow. I don't know why that makes him hobble. And saves the day against Indiana. And we go into the All-Star break on a one-game winning streak. Yay!
And from there would be about 29 games left. So all right, fine. Let's be optimistic. Let's both assume a win. That would make the Pelicans, what, 28 and 25. 25 going into the break. What would their record have to be post All-Star break for them to get a playoff victory?
Wow. 22-9 or something like that?
Okay.
My math completely off?
It's terrible. So, again, there will be 29 games. So get the calculator out.
So they'll have to win probably 21 of them.
Yeah. And
I might actually be overstating the case, because for some reason I just don't feel like Oklahoma City has been so up and down. I'm not convinced that they're going to just keep rolling. I think they're going to have another letdown series. So I'm actually going to go for 46 wins. So they'd have to win 19
you
games.
You think 46 wins makes the playoffs?
I think 46 wins ties the other teams, and they have the tiebreakers.
Yeah, I definitely.
Well, if they win against Phoenix one time.
Yeah, I definitely don't. I think the Thunder win at least 48 games.
You think so?
Yeah, I really do. I mean, I think they.
You think they're only going to win lose like 8 or 9 more games all season?
I mean, there's not that much season. Yeah, like to me, they're a 65. I mean, what did we project the Thunder to win going into the season? I mean, 60 games would have been light, right? Like we were thinking.
Yeah, it was like 59, 60. Yeah,
so basically, at that point, you're making them a 75% team, you know. So let's even go conservative and go, they win 70% the rest of the way. Yeah, I mean, I think that that's very possible. I think that their schedule isn't all that incredibly tough.
I think they're going to have another letdown moment, though. I really do.
I mean, I think if it comes down to injuries, but I look up and down their schedule, and, you know, to me, they still have the Lakers a couple of times. They have their East Coast trips. I mean, I think that they'll roll. I think that they're, you know, a 47, 48 win team easy. And, you know, that's fine. I actually thought, even coming into tonight, that our best chance of making the playoffs was catching the Clippers if Blake, you know, missed 4, 5, 6 weeks. So whatever, like, again, I've been saying it all year, and yeah, they, you know, I said a couple of weeks ago to not even think about the playoffs, and then I'll admit I got sucked in and at least started considering it the last couple of weeks, but it really is fine. I don't care. I just want to see. I just want to see, you know, these guys play together. That's all I want.
All right. Well, I'll make it happen.
All right. Do it.
So, thanks for everybody for listening to In the Know. And like we hinted, we'll have another podcast up a little later this week, since it is the All-Star Extravaganza and there's a lot of trade talk going on. Michael and I have a little bit of trade talk of ourselves, you know, trades we could conceive of. So hopefully you'll enjoy that when it comes out.